You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Harbaugh now heads to Los Angeles Chargers.
He wins everywhere. He wins, period.
Justin Herbert, he's a crown jewel.
Well, you guys better enjoy this.
Quick snap, Herbert to throw.
Has a man, touchdown.
The fans loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin
Herbert on the move and throws and touchdown.
To be known as world champions. And we're gonna do it or die trying. Don't let the powder blues fool you.
Who's got it better than that?
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Woldog, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
Whoa, where am I? This is crazy, man.
It's like I'm in SoCal, dude. Yeah. Let's not forget Kyle the Coach Duggan. Whoa.
Hi.
Hey.
Too much for me. Sorry.
That's right, folks. Check this out. We're in our new, this is the start of season 6 for the Charger Chat podcast. And so when that happens, we said, you know what?
Gotta freshen this up.
Gotta freshen this shit up. We've been doing this for 5 years. Time for a new look.
Get out of the good industrial like park that we were in.
Let's spruce the place up a little bit. Let's plant some trees, for crying out loud.
Yeah, a little spring cleaning.
And we reached out to our boy Jeremy Searcy, who knocked it out of the park. This looks so nice.
Super talented.
I love all of this. This is such a cool look. And everything blends. Like,
weird, there's no, right?
Yeah, it's all one big thing. You killed it, Jeremy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
And for those of you that enjoyed that new intro, which, by the way, thank you, Kev, for putting that all together, you might have recognized your own voice if you're a part of the Patreon, because we did a little movie magic and took everybody's nobody and put it there at the end during our last Zoom hangout with the special 10. So guess what? Now you're a part of the Charger Chat podcast every episode. You're in it.
Let's go.
Every episode. Love that. Well, folks, obviously got a huge episode lined up for you. There's so much to talk about. And we've got an Ask Bolt fam. What is this? English for third graders? No, an Ask Bolt fam lined up for you. But let's waste no time. Let's start off at the top here. Hang on one second. I'm a little parched.
Gotta get warmed up for this.
Gotta load up my glass here.
Whoa!
Rivers Lake Yacht Club.
Yeah. That's weird. Nice.
It's
green screening away. But I've got this nice We Are the Storm shirt. Care of the Rivers Lake Yacht Club. You guys sent me a nice little birthday gift, and I greatly appreciated. Love this shirt, the We Are the Storm, and
that's sick.
Got I'm the a little Rivers Lake Yacht Club
jealous. I also have
logo on the side.
Didn't receive anything rad, so
weird. Well, maybe season 6 will be better for you.
Maybe look it up for season 6 for me.
Well, thank you guys so much over at the Rivers Lake Yacht Club. Definitely go check them out. That's I'm talking about the snappies,
senor,
over there, senor and senorita snappy. Thank you guys so much. I'll be sipping from my. My beverage. Oh, it tastes so much better coming from there. All right, folks. Well, Super Bowl happened.
That's pretty much all you got to say about that.
I mean, what else do you want to say? Keep getting away with
it. It's crazy because, like, that last drive, it was like all the games we ever play against them. Patrick Mahomes just scrambles. And then he always has somebody open when he needs somebody open. And I just, I'm not a 49ers fan, but I was like, oh, gut, like punched right in the dick. I just felt it. You know exactly what they're feeling.
You know what that feels like. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We know what it feels like. And as we were watching, I'm like, I got to find a way, dude.
Yeah, 100%. No matter how much they were down in the first half, I was like, it doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
They're going to be right in it at the end. And Mahomes will probably find a way to make it happen. The only way to beat them in the Super Bowl is to beat them by 30, like the Buccaneers did.
Yeah.
Dominant.
If they stick around at all, they're going to come back.
That's the thing. Like defensively, like they kept them to three going into the half, like only a field goal. It was like, okay, maybe, but then.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a weird one. And the fact that the 49ers players didn't realize how the overtime worked, I didn't either. I didn't realize there was new overtime specialty.
Yeah, but you weren't playing in the game.
Right.
But like the thought that they should have probably had a meeting about that.
Well, because it's an interesting strategy. It's an interesting talking point.
You want the ball second
because you at least know what you're playing for.
And if they score, you go for it on every fourth down.
Exactly.
It's not even a question. It's not a thought. You now play call for fourth down for four plays. Whereas if you get the ball first, you're like, oh, shoot, like we got to get some points or else they just need a field goal to win. It's college football. You go to the whole college football, like, idea of like this is the strategy is I want the ball second. I don't want it first.
Right.
Go get a field goal. Cool. Now, or if you don't score at all I need is a field goal to win and it's game over. So yeah, it's definitely Shanahan was not paying attention to what was going on there, that's not a good look.
And I mean, what else can you say about it? Halftime performance was cool. I love that. Sure, that was like dope. Going back to high school.
Dude, it's nice. Yeah. It's nice getting old enough to where it's like the halftime shows are catered for me now.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Luda. Luda's there. Look at him.
Little John's dancing around.
I think Lil John was the best part.
That was
honestly. Yeah. He was so fun.
That was fun. What? That's what Kevin said. Guys, he was like, Lil Jon better be there.
He better be at this halftime show.
Have you seen the comparisons of Ben Stiller when he was in Dodgeball?
With, like, the purple
and shoulder pads.
That looked same outfit, dressed up as.
Oh, God, that's a tough look. That's tough.
Oh, man. I wish we were watching the Nickelodeon broadcast.
I think I said this last year, same time. The greatest thing about the Super Bowl is that season's over now, and we're starting all over at zero.
It's done.
Everyone's
a fresh start, and it's going to be good. And it's all this dynasty talk for the Chiefs. Like, good
it's gonna
on
make
you.
It better to beat them. It's going to make it sweeter.
It's going to be, So,
finger looking good. Let's see. In the lead up to the Super Bowl, there was a lot of media in Vegas. Chargers junior writer Omar Navarro talked with people about the recent hire of Harbaugh and the expectations. These are a couple of tidbits from that. He talked to Tom Pelissero about the excitement about the Chargers, and Tom said the Chargers now are not only the biggest story in the NFL, they're one of the biggest stories in all of sports. When you bring back Jim Harbaugh, who has had success everywhere he's ever been, from the University of San Diego, Stanford, to the 49ers, to Michigan, coming off of a national championship, and now pairing him up with Justin Herbert. It's huge.
Huge.
It's big. It's a big deal.
It's fun being talked about during the Super Bowl. I know it'd be better if we were in the Super Bowl, but it's nice to have so much buzz around your team that you're still relevant. Even though we haven't played a meaningful football game in like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, meaningful in like 12 weeks.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. To be not just one of the biggest stories in the NFL, but to be biggest stories in all of sports.
Yeah.
On the day that the Super Bowl's happening.
Tell me more.
You're in good company. Yeah. and then he also talked to Robert Mays from The Athletic, who said, it's incredible when you look at this coaching cycle. I feel like he was the guy that people were really after. What he's done to build programs at the NFL level, at the college level, what he can do to just set the baseline of what the franchise should be. And it's exciting.
Yeah, we're going to get into it, all these coaching hires, but he has stacked up some
It's been rapid fire. Yeah,
dude.
I'm excited to talk about that.
it's starting to feel a little bit more like he like exhausted his like total inner circle, and now he's going to like poach from all over the place now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who was that guy I roomed with back in 06? Yeah. He was a good guy. I liked
him. He liked RVs, right? He's a big RV park guy.
He's a big RV guy.
Well, it's like people are coming here for opportunities. Like there's one of them that's a lateral step, but it's a better opportunity. So
And it's what's cool is it's not like a like last year. I do feel like Kellen Moore came because he thought the opportunity to be a head coach was there. These are desires to come to learn from the current head coach, not oh, I might get a chance to bump up.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Big time. And then let's see. Omar talked to NFL defensive end Chris Long, who said, it's huge. I'm super excited to watch Jim again. I played in the NFC West when he was in San Francisco. Just an awesome coach. I think when you look at Justin Herbert, everybody wants to see him realize that potential, which I think he's already started to do. But you need good coaches and you need good systems. I think it's going to be awesome. Fireworks.
Yeah, I've thought about it so much. Like, Justin Herbert is a great football player. Like, he is. But if the difference when I look at Patrick Mahomes and I look at Justin Herbert is Pat doesn't have to be great. Like, he doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. So the 17-week season, he can have off weeks. They still win. He stays healthy. I mean, the guy never gets hurt. It's just because of the system that they have, he does not get hurt. Mm-hmm. So he's able to stay healthy through 17 weeks, get to the playoffs, and then turn that next switch. Justin's just surviving the NFL 17 weeks.
He's fighting for his life out there.
He really is, because there is no system. We've never had a run game. Our offensive line has always been questionable outside of a couple of key pieces. So it's like, you don't have a system to go the long distance. You've seen it in the regular season that he's incredible. He puts up stats. He puts the team on his back on occasion. But like what you saw in the Super Bowl there, that's a result of 19 weeks of being in a system. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, I'm done like talking crap. He's still annoying and I hate the way he walks and I hate the way he talks. Mm-hmm. But he's an incredible football player. Like he really is. Although I don't think he made any incredible throws in that Super Bowl, he just made the right decision every time.
Right.
He just made he made the right choice every single time.
Right.
So that's what I want to see Justin do. You know, you can throw stats. Like I know you have stats. Mm-hmm. You can throw harder. We saw Josh Allen created the best quarterback in the NFL using different elements of quarterbacks and he put Justin's arm. Justin has the best arm in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's just like, can we have you in a system where you don't have to, like you can just do it when you need to at the end of the game, but all game long, now you're rested, you're ready to rock and roll. You haven't been beat up all game. I think there's more to that than what we think about.
No, that's an excellent point.
It'll be different for Charger fans too, because everyone's expecting the super high numbers from Justin and like him doing this shit. It's not maintainable. So the idea that
Lamar Jackson just won the MVP with like the 10th passing yards in the NFL. Like he didn't break numbers. He just won games. Yeah.
Incredibly efficient won games. Like that's what we need from Justin. So, and then show up in the big moments at the big times when you when we need him the most. He did that in that first year with Staley in the Raiders game at the end of the season. He stepped up and carried that team to almost beating them.
His second season, too, against the Cleveland Browns and like several times. It's not just been a one-off thing. Like this last year was really tough for him.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, with the game on the line, having the ball in your hand, I think it was a lack of, I don't know, maybe preparation or it seemed like we didn't have any idea of really what the goal was at the end of the games. Like I remember it's against Tennessee last year, 2 years ago. Remember, we got that deep ball to Mike down the sideline, kicked the game-winning field goal. Like he's done it. It's just for whatever reason, the system is not there to support him doing it right now.
Yeah. Get a run game. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be a huge help. And then Omar talked to Brian Baldinger on winning this year, who said, I think it can happen in 1 year. I don't think that there's a 2 year, 3 year plan. I think he knows that he has a talented quarterback. He's got talented players. I think he'll oversee the whole roster, the type of players that he wants, whether it's free agency, trades, draft picks. I think this thing can turn around real quickly.
I do too, Mr. Dinger.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Dinger.
Can I call you Dinger?
Can I call you Mr. Dinger?
You're really
batting it out of the park right now with these comments. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Like, fans are obviously, like, we're homers, so we want to be like, Super Bowl bound. It's happening. Yeah. Yeah. We're totally there. But this is a guy, this is an unbiased opinion that knows what kind of talent is on this team and just getting the right coaches. And like you said, Kyle, just getting the right system in place where Justin Herbert doesn't have to carry this team on his back to the point that he injures both hands at some point during the season, that like this could be really exciting and this team can go far real quickly.
Speaking of hands, a guy with a broken finger that goes out like that, that's got football credibility all over the place. So good work on that, Baldinger, and your crazy weird hand.
Does he have a weird hand?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen
his pinky goes out like that.
Really?
His pinky goes out to the side. Yeah, he's an offensive lineman forever, and he broke his finger and never got it fixed. When you have a broken finger for 30-plus years, I trust your opinion.
Wow.
Mr. Dinger.
I did not know that. And then lastly, he talked to Ian Rappaport, who said, this is a good football team with a lot of good players. They got a great quarterback, got some really good skilled guys. To me, this is a team that could turn it around in 1 year, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I think the only problem with the Chargers is the expectations are going to be high. But, like, okay, I don't think Jim Harbaugh cares at all. Expectations are always high, no matter where he coaches. So I do think it's a really good fit.
When does an NFL team not have high expectations? I think every season, every team's like, yeah, you better go win. You know, that's why people get fired every year.
Right.
It's not like you enter a year like, yeah, it's okay if you only win four games. I don't know. I guess you could say that about some organizations.
There's some teams that are not competing or are setting themselves
the
up.
The bar is low. Yeah.
Anytime you have a quarterback, though, you should expect to win. And we've had one forever.
Right.
From Philip Rivers straight to Justin Herbert. Like the Tyrod year, I saw that as like maybe that's like the one time where I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't have huge expectations for what the season could be.
Right.
This is a transitional year. We'll see how Justin develops. But yeah, I don't think that's new to the Chargers. And it's definitely not new to LA. If you're an LA team, you're going to have high expectations. You can't just go out there and show up.
Mm-hmm. So all very exciting. Great article there, Omar. Thank you for talking to all those guys. It was it's all extremely exciting news. And then looking over at some of the new coaches, this popped up and really caught our attention because we know who this person is. Mike Garofalo tweeting out, the Chargers are bringing back Shane Day as the quarterback coach on Jim Harbaugh's coaching staff. Sources say Day was with the Texans this season after serving as pass game coordinator and QB coach for Justin Herbert in 21 and 22. Herbert's a big fan.
Big fan. I think they asked him, you know, you've had three. So he had Pep, he had Shane Day, and then he had Nussmeier, right? So
Nussmeier, yeah.
He's like, all right, well, you've had three. You kind of get an idea of who suits you best. And all right, we'll bring you back. Let's ride.
Yeah, but
like, 1 year away, you're back.
Yeah, but rehiring a guy, like, that's not a... You could go through those three and he could be like, yeah, they were all right. And you could just go pick somebody new.
Yeah.
Like, he likes Shane Day enough to be
like,
yeah, they messed up letting him go. Like, bring him back. Mm-hmm. That's I don't know. I think that's really cool that Justin, like, that's the only thing I could think. That's the only way that happened. Mm-hmm. He does the only
there's no
person
connection
on
to Harbaugh.
He's like the only person on the staff that doesn't have a connection to Harbaugh. There's no way that it wasn't Justin being like, please just bring back Shane.
Hire whoever you want. Just give me Shane.
Yeah.
Let me have this.
Pretty cool.
So awesome to have you back there, Shane Day. And then there was just a slew of other hirings that happened between last episode and now. They hired Chad Alexander, who is the new Chargers assistant GM, who was also the former Ravens director of player personnel.
I don't remember the Chargers had an assistant general manager. Like it seems like another payroll that they didn't want to pay or something. I don't know. It's just different how they're redesigning the hierarchy of, you know, the top part of the, you know, decision makers at the franchise.
Yeah, no, it feels like, I mean, we'll get through all the names here, but it feels like this is a stupid analogy, but it feels like you've got like Nick Fury, who's like, I need the Avengers right now, and I'm going to get everybody in here. I don't care if like if there isn't a title for this person. We'll make a title for this guy because he needs to be here. I trust this person, and because he came from the Ravens, so obviously there's a connection there with the Harbaugh.
With Joe Ortiz.
Joe Ortiz,
and
definitely
Ortiz, absolutely. Sure. So, he's like, I don't care. Make him assistant GM. Is that good with you, Joe? He's like, yeah, that's good. All right.
It is funny though, because Jim Harbaugh coming into this was like, oh, he wants all the control. He wants to make all the decisions. And now he has two GMs working with him.
Yeah.
You know, like they doubled down.
Yeah. Batman, Robin, and who's the other one? Who's the other
Catwoman?
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Alfred? The butler?
Yeah, Alfred. There you go. Some other options.
Yeah, but it is interesting because I think that he just had a bad rap. Like, remember his like critical reading thing? Like, you have to be able to like read between the lines of what happened last time, because everyone was calling him out for not working well with the GM in San Francisco, and that's why he left. And he's like,
gotcha,
yeah, I learned this thing called critical reading. You guys should think about it sometime. Like,
I'm gonna have two GMs to not get along with now. I mean, suck it.
Yeah, you think I don't get along with GMs? I'm getting two.
Utah.
Give me two. Yeah, no, it just feels like he's surrounding himself with the best possible people that he can right now, short of, you know, those that
are... What does an assistant GM do, you think? Like, say you're the assistant GM, you show up to work, what do you do?
I think... For an assistant GM, I mean, I don't know. I've never been a GM, so I'm going to say that it's probably
been an assistant.
Well,
something.
I guess, yeah, sure. I'm going
to
say
to the assistant.
I'm going to say the GM probably has probably got a lot going on. He's got a lot to do, and would probably be a lot better at his job if he could, you know, maybe hand off some of that responsibility. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So. That's what I'm going to say.
Feels like a lot of cooks in the kitchen to me.
Nah, he's just there to pick up, you know, like, get his dry clean. I don't know.
Or it was like, we're landing on day one. Like, we need to get up and running so goddamn fast. Like, let's maybe, get everybody ready to go.
Yeah,
get
all hands on deck.
Yeah, get him ready. He's probably going to get a GM job here soon. So get him in here. And because he was the director of player personnel for the Ravens. So he's basically working with him in that sense.
Yeah, and he had already done so much, like, recruiting for the draft and...
Sure.
He already has so much information. So it's like a quick, easy, we need more people here. This is again, which I don't know if that's a good thing if he sees it that way. Joe's like, we got a lot of work to do. There's crap going everywhere.
Flying all over the place.
Telesco left a bomb for us.
Chad, I need you.
Bring in Chad. I need Chad.
Bring me Chad.
Give me Chad.
Utah, give me Chad.
Show me Chad.
And then, let's see, we also hired Corey Krawiec.
We'll
go with that.
Why is that W? I want to make it a V.
Might be German. Don't know. Krawiec. He is the new Chargers director of player personnel and the former Ravens player personnel and analytics assistant.
Well, they had a lot of it seems like they had a lot of like multiple positions for the Ravens. Like, they were both, you know, player personnel guys. So, him, Corey, and Chad were both player personnel guys. So, just maybe a different methodology to it all, and like bringing more people in.
How's John Harbaugh feel right now? His whole staff just got ripped out from under
the draft playbook. Gone. And
they were all happy to leave too.
Yeah. So, like, get me out of here. I don't know.
What does this mean?
It's like picking you over me or me over you. It's like weird.
Can you imagine if I left Columbia and went to go work for Kyle and the call that you would make?
Yeah, just like, right.
What are you doing? You're taking my
son of a bitch. Take my friend.
You can have Stellan. I didn't say you could have everybody.
Yeah, you can't take them all. Suck.
So
Thanksgiving's going to be awkward as shit next year.
Yeah, especially if the Chargers just absolutely murder right out of the game. Yeah. The Ravens are struggling.
Yeah.
Well, they got that game. If the Chargers end up beating the Ravens in that regular season game,
Well, John's going to be like, you beat me. You took my whole staff.
Yeah. What did you think would happen?
How do you not make that the home opener? The Harbaugh Bowl to start the season?
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
That's the most dramatic game.
But playing the Chiefs week one in Kansas City off the Super Bowl and just
smack that ass.
Oh, yeah. That'd be so good. That'd be sweet.
Ow. All right. And then the two names that we've been talking about that finally became official, Greg Roman as the new offensive coordinator and Jesse Minter as the new Chargers defensive coordinator. Roman was the former Ravens offensive coordinator, and Minter was the former defensive coordinator at the University of Michigan. So finally, two coordinators done, locked, ready to go. Very exciting.
I know there's been a little bit of division about the Greg Roman hire because he's just an old school run the ball kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people don't want that, which is okay if that's not what you would call.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that you want to win, right? Like Harbaugh and him work together,
mm-hmm.
and they won a lot of football games. Like, again, like you said, like this is not a 1-2, this is not a 3-4 year plan. This is a, who can I bring in that we're going to win right now?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the guys he hired to do that. I also saw a cool interview with Greg Roman last year during the offseason. I can't remember what platform it was on or who it was with. But he was talking about taking a year off of coaching because he had gone through, the hiring cycle was done. Everyone was hired and he wasn't hired because he took all last year off. And he said how excited he was. He's like, I'm a super creative guy and I'm excited to go and like allow myself time to be creative with my playbook and kind of test out some new things and learn from other people and expand my playbook a little bit. He's like, in the NFL grind, when you're in season, you don't have time for that. You're so much focused on just exactly what you already have that you don't have that liberty to think outside of the box. So he was like, I'm going to use that time to try to expand what I do. So I think there's, if you come into the Chargers, you see Justin Herbert and you don't adjust what you do a little bit, you're crazy and you're not going to stay long.
Right. You're not creative.
Right. You're not. Yeah. You're a liar.
You lied, Greg.
People that are worried that we're going to throw the ball 10 times a game, I think you can let that go.
Right.
I just think you have to run the ball in football. There's just no way around it. You can't win. You can't win 17 weeks and then into the playoffs if you can't run the ball. There's just, you can't do it.
Right. We've seen it. Now.
He's bringing us exactly what we need.
Yeah.
And then you can sprinkle some Justin Herbert on top of that and let him go off. Do I want Justin throwing 50 times a game? I don't think that's the way we're going to win. That's not going to keep him healthy by any stretch. So have him throw 30 times a game, run the ball, have an efficient run game. He's not hurt and we're kicking ass.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I like that.
I like the plan.
All right. And then we also hired Steve Klinkscale as the new Chargers defensive backs coach, former University of Michigan defensive back coach as well.
This is interesting. This one just happened. He was originally going to stay with Michigan because I believe that he thought he was going to get the defensive coordinator job at Michigan and didn't get it. And basically was like, all right, I'm out. I'm going back with my guy. So this was big. This was happened recently. So.
Yeah.
This wasn't somebody we were expecting to get.
Love that. That's good. And then this was also an interesting hire. Navarro Bowman, former player.
Stud player.
Freaking
monster. Former all-pro for the 49ers linebacker is now the Chargers linebackers coach.
It's fun when you hire former players. They're not guaranteed to be great coaches.
Right.
But it's fun because we know them. You know, like if he could just take some of that playing ability that he had and that fire and passion, and if he was a good enough teacher to be able to translate that to the players,
he's going to get them fired up for sure.
That's the funnest hire, I think, of all of these.
Yeah.
That's from the player's perspective, like you're getting a dude that did it and was an all pro, and he's coming into your locker room, like the respect level is going to be through the roof. And hopefully he's a good teacher. Because I think he was like an assistant at some college, like Maryland or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he was at Maryland. I think he's right.
So I hope this goes well. And if we see some psycho play out of our linebackers, you'll know why.
That'd be wild.
Whoever our linebackers are.
And we'll find out.
We know at least a couple. and then Chris O'Leary is the new Chargers safeties coach, former Notre Dame safeties coach. And I think so there was a connection. What was it? I know I saw it in a tweet.
Worked in Baltimore 5 years ago.
Something like that, yeah. Ran into Harbaugh, told him he had a nice haircut, and he was like, let me call that Chris O'Leary guy.
Used the same barber.
Yeah. And then Sanjay Lal is the new Chargers wide receiver coach, former Seahawks passing game coordinator.
I remember seeing him on a season of Hard Knocks with the Cowboys, and he was intense. Mm. So,
oh, really?
It's worth looking it up on YouTube, him on Hard Knocks.
Awesome. I'm intrigued. And then Mike Elston is the new Chargers defensive line coach, former University of Michigan defensive line coach as well. So one more Michigan.
They're going to hit the ground running.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The whole staff is basically coming over from Michigan.
Jesse Minter has his whole staff from last year, basically. He's a DB coach, his D-line coach. He went out and got a safeties coach that has the same barber. And then they have a linebacker coach that already is the Harbaugh guy. So
right.
Yeah.
I think you just said it perfectly, like hitting the ground running, like bringing people that you're familiar with. You're already on the same page. You already know what you're going to accomplish. You already know, and you've tasted success, especially for the guys that are coming from Michigan. Were at the big
undefeated
game.
Football team.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just what I kept saying about Coach Staley is you can't have a staff because he was never a coach, like never a head coach. Mm-hmm. If you are never a head coach, you've never had assistants. So you can't hire these guys and they know what to expect.
Right.
Like they don't, it's just, it's impossible.
They're going to uproot their families to follow you somewhere because they don't know what you're going to be all about.
Well, yeah. And then, like we're talking about, you can't hit the ground running right away. You don't know the vibe. You don't know how he's going to react. You don't know what is it. He can tell you what his expectations are, but until you're on the field in a game going through all that together, you don't really know. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to have a head coach that has his guys. And he's like, yeah, I don't care where they went to. I'm just going to go find them and bring them back.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing? You want a job?
Yeah. News. It's very much a new Anchorman news team assemble.
Yes.
You know, they're coming.
Yeah. My Avengers analogy stands.
Yeah.
All right. So a bunch of great hires, bunch of great guys. Very excited now for the next season. And then just prior to the Super Bowl game, they announced the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And we all knew that Antonio Gates was a finalist. And
first year of eligibility. I wasn't even thinking about this.
No.
This wasn't even on my radar.
No. I mean, we announced when he became a finalist.
We celebrated.
And it was just like, and we celebrated as if he was in because why wouldn't you?
It's obvious why he would be.
And the news comes out that he's not going. He's not in on his first year. And
shame on you.
It's an absolute joke.
It's an absolute joke. Like the guy, and I mean, everybody at this point, a lot of people have already pointed out all the reasons why the guy should be in the Hall of Fame, but really just the best tight end to play the game. And then there's been a lot of great tight ends. I mean, I've seen a lot of arguments of like, who's better, Gronkowski or Kelsey or Tony Gonzalez or whatever. And it's just like, and Antonio Gates gets left out of the conversation so much in a way that it's infuriating. But as a fan, you go like, well, I know what he's good at. And so does Sean Merriman, who tweeted out Antonio Gates not being a first ballot and is an absolute embarrassment. They should be ashamed. His stats, he's an 8-time Pro Bowler that's 4th all-time, 6-time All-Pro, 3rd of all-time, Hall of Fame, All-2000s team. And then among other tight ends, he's got 116 touchdowns, most out of any tight end
in the history of the game. NFL.
Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez, Rob Gronkowski, they can suck it because he's got the
They have not scored time. More points.
And he did it all for one team. Like you have to take that into account when you look at this Hall of Fame. Like when you have guys that change the game and loyalties to their team, like this is just something that will never happen again. These guys don't exist anymore.
Right. Part of the reason why Gronkowski and Kelsey are having the success that they are is because of what Antonio Gates did to the game.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got almost 12,000 yards, which is 3rd all time, almost 1,000 receptions, 3rd all time, and 4th most played games out of any tight end. And you don't go, well, he's in. Of course.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this?
It was so freaking shocking. And like hearing all of his teammates come out and be like, this is travesty. This is insane. Like, you know, people are like, we need to know who's voting. There needs to be accountability for this. This is silly.
They should who's have voting and their, what did you vote for?
Yeah, they should have to defend their actions. Like, why right. did, why, like, let's have a press, a post-game press conference, post-vote press conference.
Yeah.
Why was Antonio Gates not accepted into the Hall of Fame?
Why yeah. Andre
give
Johnson,
me one single reason.
Who doesn't have nearly the stats that he does as a wide receiver, right? Is in over Antonio Gates. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And that's, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. I'm not trying to take away from the people that did get in.
Not
the
at
Hall
all.
Of Fame.
Right. No.
They're in the Hall of Fame for nominated. A very
they're all
good
there
reason.
For a reason.
Yeah.
But you have to, I mean, I say you have to, and obviously you don't because it didn't happen, but you've got to put this guy in the Hall of Fame yeah. first time just because of what he did to the game, what he's accomplished. And the like you said, Kyle, he played for one team. The guy was an undrafted free agent.
He was a basketball player coming. Like,
yeah.
Everything about basketball? The story. Yeah, basketball.
I heard that.
Kent State. Yeah, Kent State. But it's just like it, everything about it is like an incredible story of overcoming and like resiliency and sticking it out and being like, I don't know. Like, There's nothing that keeps him from being a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. Honestly, they feel really stupid. They should mm-hmm. feel really stupid for not letting him in.
And they should. And really the worst, I say the worst and the best thing about all of this, the worst thing was hearing his response to it, going
he was sad.
It hurt him because, and that's not, it hurt him because he's got an ego. It hurt him because even he knows what he did to this game, and he knows that like everybody around me is telling me I should be a first ballot Hall of Fame. Yeah. So like in his mind, I'm sure he's like, yeah, I should be there. And but the thing that I guess that made it better was the follow-up to that, going like, I'm not gonna let this affect me. You know, I know who what I mean to the fans, I know what I mean to the organization, I know what I mean to the game. And it's just a shame, really. That's at the end of the day, that's all it is. It's just a shame. And the people that vote really should give some kind of an explanation as to why you don't put this guy in. Or and honestly, like, I don't know, I might be off my rocker here, but like, why limit it to the guys that you limited it to? Why not add another spot? I'm sure it's some old written rule that like you only let in five or six people a season or whatever it is.
Well, I will go against that and say, like, they might be letting too many people into the Hall of Fame.
I think
I'm not kidding. It's like not as
it's
special.
Not that impressive anymore. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, you got eight guys every year. Like, this
really
is a guy that you put in, no matter how many people are, he's number one in that group of people that were nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but it's almost getting to the point where getting into your team's Hall of Fame, like he was inducted into the Ring of Honor,
way more
the Chargers.
Important.
Is more important. Like, we're the ones that know you. Like, the Hall of Fame is biased. They only look at certain stuff. Obviously, they're not looking at everything. So
they weren't with
you. No one's wearing 85 again for the Chargers. I'll tell you that much.
We see you, Antonio, and you're a Hall of Famer to us, dude.
100%.
No question. No doubt about it. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, you can be a first ballot Hall of Famer over at our Patreon, patreon.com/
We have a new tier.
Chad.
$100 tier, first ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot tier. patreon.com/ChargerChad. Check out all the fun, silly videos we got going on over there and hangouts. And just a great time at patreon.com/ChargerChad. We won't say no to you.
No.
We'll let you in.
You can come.
Let you in. Yeah. First time. In, first time you try to get in, you're in.
You're in.
But if you don't want to go to patreon.com/ChargerChat, that's totally fine. It's fine. You can go on over to our regular website, ChargerChat.com. Okay. Check out all the cool stuff we got over there, t-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in the members section and ask questions and ask Bold Fam. So go check out Charger Chat.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
.com. All right. Well, folks, it's time to go on to the next segment. I swear I scrolled through the outline going, okay, I guess we're not doing one this week, but apparently there is one. It's another fan focus.
Oh, shit, yeah.
It's coming in hot.
Let's go. All right, guys, we are back with another fan focus, and we're super excited to have Luis from San Diego. What is going on, my friend?
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. We're so excited to have you. It's like we were just talking about this before we got on. The season's officially started. Super Bowl's over. That sucked how it went down, but it's over. We're starting a new season. So there's excitement. But before we get into like all that, how did you become a Charger fan?
There was never a moment that it was like I was with one team and I became a Chargers fan, or I had no one and I became a Chargers fan. I grew up on it. I remember we used to go to an uncle's house. He had I like to call it a caveman because it sounds cool, you know. But when he walked in, he had a copy of the San Diego Tribune. It was from the newspaper of 1994 when the Chargers won the AFC championship. And he had it framed up, and I mean, it was great. And I walked by it, and I saw it, and I was like, "Huh, I wonder who these guys are." Like, I was little; I had no idea what the sport was. I had no idea, what football was, you know. And we went there for big games, for Super Bowls, for playoff games, for fights. And as I grew up around San Diego, my dad took me to football games, and I just grew up in the sport. They grew up on me. I started playing it, and I started watching more and more football. I started to understand it more, and as I understood it more, I learned more about the players, and I mean, it just grew on me. It was just the colors. When I went to the games, it was electric. The fan base was amazing. I mean, even to this day, it doesn't compare to anything else.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, same here, dude. It just grows on you, dude. It's contagious. And it's you know, being a fan for as long as you have, we've been through the ups and downs. It hasn't been perfect, but it seems like things are getting rolling in the right direction right now with Harbaugh coming in. So tell us a little bit about your excitement level for this new coach. What's gonna happen to this roster? Who knows at this point? But tell us a little bit about your excitement level.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been this excited for a hire. I mean, it's crazy. I like how he's changing everything up. It's last year we said we cleaned the house. This is a clean house.
Yeah,
I mean, he's turning everything around. I like how he's keeping it close and intimate. Like, he's going all the way back to his roots. And I mean, it should be great. It should be a great sideline. Not only the team, the players in the field, but also that sideline. It's going to be amazing. We're about to do some great things out there.
Oh, for sure. And like the little things like Navarro Bowman, like his old stud linebacker coming in to be our linebacker coach. Like, it seems like he's going to have a really awesome staff. So, the excitement level's insane. And speaking of that, you know, we talked a little bit on text on Insta, and you recently became a season ticket holder. So tell us a little bit about that process. I'm sure a lot of people are considering it right now.
I mean, hey, if you're considering it, if you're just waiting for a signal, this is it. I mean, there's no words to try to convince you. Just do it. I was waiting for this moment forever. Since I have memory, like I said, I grew up on it. Since I have memory, I've been a Chargers fan. And unfortunately, it never came to the occasion. And now it did. Now it did. I bought them with my friend. And we are excited. There's every time there's like pop-ups on Instagram or so social media, and it's like, oh, the Harbaugh Bowl, you know, Ravens versus Chargers, and I'm like, it would be great to go, and then I'm like, oh wait, we are going.
pinch yourself a little bit.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, and that's the move with the tickets, dude. I went in on it with my brother when we did ours, because I don't live in California right now, so it's like going in on with the buddy is like the move, and then you're like,
yeah,
I, you know, that's super fun, man. So. So tell us, you know, this is going to be a really exciting year. There's a lot of stuff to look forward to. What is like the one thing out of all of these different scenarios that you're looking forward to the most?
I got to say the change that this is bringing us. Patrick Mahomes yesterday, he did say it's the starting of a dynasty. I don't think it's happening on the Chiefs side. That start of a dynasty is totally on the other side of the division. That's with us. We're about to change. This team is about to change, and I mean, hopefully, it's for way for the better. I mean, it's gonna be great. I'm excited.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be awesome. That's all good stuff for fuel for the coach to show the team. Like, oh wait, they're gonna have a dynasty. What do you know? I love that. I love the fuel. And then let's go out on this. You know, what is you're being a fan for as long as you have? What's your biggest, you know, most important moment of being a Charger fan?
I think I'm gonna go with a game that I went to at Qualcomm Stadium. Yeah, back in it was 2014. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was 2014. It was the season after the Seahawks had won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The Chargers were hosting the Seahawks. And for that season, and I mean, by then I already knew like all the rules. I knew about the teams and everything. And I mean, I was a kid. I mean, you're hoping for the best, but I was terrified. I mean, I was like, we're going against the champions. This is going to be rough. It'll be tough to beat, but hopefully we can make it. And throughout the whole game, I remember the chance, the San Diego Superchargers chance, all the way towards the end, the fan base, again, so electric. And I remember we came out with the win that time. And I think that's the moment that I said, this is the team that I will go for, ride or die. And no matter the ups, no matter the downs, I'm going to be right here. And this is it.
That's awesome, man. I believe Antonio Gates went off in that game. I remember he had a one-handed circus catch. I remember.
Yes, he did.
That.
Yeah.
But that's awesome, man. So excited for the season. Really excited to meet you and chat with you and get to learn a little bit more about you. And we really appreciate you, Luis. And hopefully we can run into you at a game. We've season ticket holding up, baby. Let's go.
Hopefully, yeah. Thank you guys for inviting me. I'm grateful for this. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, dude, our pleasure. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. See you. Thank you.
Well, that's a fantastic story. All around there, Luis. That was really cool. And yeah, what a time to join the Chargers and just like to make the statement that no matter what happens, up or down, no matter what, this is my team, ride or die. Yeah. I love that. I love that, you know, it's a mentality that I think a lot of fans can forget, that if you're a fan of anything, you know, short of like somebody committing something heinous, you know, like if the Chargers as a whole went out and murdered a whole basket of puppies or something like that, then I'd be I might have to reconsider this
support. These
this
guys, yeah.
Support.
We don't share the same values.
Yeah, no, we're not on the same page. But as long as they're going out and trying and doing their best, and if they don't come away with a win, yeah, that sucks. But like, that doesn't mean I'm going to leave the fandom or anything like that. And same for him. I mean, he's been through all of this, and I love a fan that does that. That's my kind of fan. You know, you can fan however you want to fan. That's my kind of fan. The person that, shoot, didn't get it. Or yes, we did get it. We won or something like that. And so for him to do that, for him to be a part of this team, regardless of what the outcome, that's fantastic.
Well, and him getting a coming season ticket holder, that's what I'm talking about. He hit us up. He's like,
yeah,
apparently
so cool.
A lot of people are reaching out to, and they're on like a waiting list. And he's like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm a little stressed out. Want to get tickets. And I was like, who's the person I can reach out to that could give me the right advice? So I hit up Karen And Karen's like, perfect. Call good this person. Phone number. Perfect. Don't give up. And I sent it to him and it happened immediately. So we're looking out for each other. And interesting fact, I know where his seats are. He could definitely hawk a loogie on us because he's right above gross. Us. He could pour some beers on us. He could do really don't. Pretty much anything. And we can't do anything back. So don't do that, Luis. We love you.
Yeah, Luis, my fandom might change for you if you do that. So please don't. Yeah,
don't do that. Dude. Don't
our
that guy.
Values won't align if you do that.
not quite murdering puppies, but it's
but
close.
It's close. Yeah, it's close. It's up there. But thank you so much for coming on and chatting with Kev and telling that story. That was all just fantastic. Really appreciate you. All right, folks. Well, now it's time to go on to the next segment. Ask Bolt Fam. Let's get into it now.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Hi, guys.
Go jam a thumb up his butthole. That's what you do.
I wet myself in excitement.
Both are hungry.
Your thoughts are like totally appreciated.
Catch you later, dude.
Okay, love you, boy.
That's right, folks. Time for Ask Bolt Fam, and we start at the top with Leo, who asked the question. In a world where the Chargers were considered afterthoughts, where each game is a letdown, now comes the story of the summer. Chargers Reloaded, starring Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, Joe Hortiz, Greg Roman, Jesse Minter, and Ryan Ficken. The ultimate team since the Toon Squad. Only one question comes to mind. Who's got it better than us? K, love you, bye.
Nobody?
Nobody.
Line?
Nobody. It's nobody.
It's nobody. Okay. Let me take two. Nobody.
But yeah, it's exciting with the, we talked about it earlier, like the coaching staff that's coming in. It's
extremely exciting. And the one thing actually that we didn't talk about is the Chargers setting up a deal with Ryan Ficken.
A multi-year deal.
That was a question mark going into this. Like, okay, we get it. You're going to hire new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. Please hang on to the special teams because that was so much fun last year.
And it was his son who was his special teams coordinator right. in Michigan. So yeah. Everyone was like, oh, for sure, he's going to keep bringing his son over, obviously.
But when he went to the Seahawks.
Seahawks, yeah.
It still was like, okay, well, maybe we'll keep Ryan Ficken, but maybe he knows a guy from the Ravens that,
right.
that did something for him. Back in high school, that he wants to make
somebody
this
from that
teacher.
Thrift store, from
exactly.
The hometown.
But no, we held on to Ryan Ficken, so that's all great news. But yeah, ain't nobody got it better than us right now, Leo. Nobody. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Big Red Bolts fan, who asked the question.
Ye old committee for the Hall did greatly fail. They should be committed and banned and thrown in jail. For clearly their snobberish antics are beyond thy pale, just as their spineless rhetoric and retorts are growing quite stale. The folks within those hallowed halls full of greats, with bronze busts of heads and etched in brass nameplates, shall be wildly searching the bottoms of their crates. But alas, they'll not find not the dome of Sir Gates. Those fools should feel shame as they kick thine own asses and quickly go check if they do need new glasses. For only a fool who's as dense as molasses would think Hester and Johnson should be what this class is. Alas, I digress, as complaining is useless. So a question I'll ask of our trio of muses. What is thine favorite of the tailgating juices? K, love you, bye. FTR, yo, deuces.
Man, he gets better every freaking time.
He does.
He's out of control, man.
It's really quite, it's a lot of fun. Impressive. And very well said.
Yeah.
On the lack
bullshit.
Of gates. Yeah.
Big pile of bullshit.
Yeah. There it is.
There it is.
Class of 2024.
Yeah, not as classy as he put it. Just bullshit.
But that's not the question. The question is favorite tailgating juices.
Choice.
But I'm beverage.
Beverage.
Choice.
In honor of Senior Snappy and that awesome
yeah,
shirt.
Yeah, Yacht Tot.
Mm. Yeah, the Yacht Tot is pretty amazing.
Yes.
Very good.
I do look forward
to it. It
is
like
that.
An exciting look. I do look forward to it because it's never going to have that any other time.
Well, it's
right?
a tasty beverage.
It's very tasty good. Beverage.
Yeah. Love that. Good call.
Yeah.
honestly, whatever somebody puts in my hand, that's my new favorite. When that's people start handing us shots and full cans of stuff, it's like, all right, yeah, it's my new favorite.
I love when Adam, like last time we were there, you're just like walking around holding all the excess stuff. It was pretty hilarious.
I'm like taking pictures with people. I've got full cans of beer in each hand. Yeah. Like, I'm not drinking them. I'm just holding them. But thank you, Big Red Bolts fan, for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Friar Bolt, who asked the question.
Hey, fellas. Once again, another year and another Queef Super Bowl. I wonder if this is how the AFC East felt during the Patriots one. They have become the bug you just want to squish. Would you guys want the Chargers to open the season versus the Queefs? Personally, I'd rather wait, considering we're establishing a new system, but gives Harbaugh and the Chargers to announce their presence in the league from the jump. What's your opinion? Here's to a new season, and bolt the F up. Care of you, bye.
No one requests the sexy baby enough. I love
it. No, it's Friar Bolt. That's his voice.
Oh, I love
whenever,
it.
Whenever it pops up, it's Friar Bolt that's asking for it, and I love it. Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier as far as like wanting that Chargers against the Chiefs in the home opener. I think really the reason is you don't know what the Chargers are bringing. Nope. And so if there's any good, there's nothing guard for them to look at. Yeah, there's no tape.
What I'd rather tape? Take out an AFC West opponent first game.
Yeah.
With the unknown.
Quick draw.
Yeah, exactly.
Draw.
And it feels like the Chiefs get better as the year goes along. So catch them early and get that first dub under his belt would be great.
Yeah. I'm all for it. So I think we are all in agreement.
Anytime, any squad, any place.
There you go. Yeah, whenever it happens, it's going to be great. But yeah, let's take him out early. Let's get that early AFC West lead, if you know what I'm saying. Friar Bolt.
Never give it
back. Or go beat up on your brother. One of those two sounds great to me.
Come on. Friar Bolt, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Ben Hackney Williams.
Certified fresh.
Who asked the question. Tonight, specifically, can we get to family trust companionship? FTC. Go 49ers, Super Bowl 2024.
Family trust companionship. I could get behind that.
Yeah.
I mean, that works.
I think there should be a shirt now that says family trust, respect, companionship.
Something
give me
for...
give me...
something for the
show
bees.
Show me brotherhood.
There
brotherhood,
you go.
Yep.
Love it.
Pull it together. Love it.
Put it all family on one shirt. Brotherhood. And then shut up and take my money.
Yep, I'd buy that.
But it didn't quite go the way we wanted there, Ben. But thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Kevin E. Fisk Jr., who asked the question.
Is it bad to be a Chargers fan and root for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Does it? Could you come up with a scenario where it's okay?
I need a reason.
I know. I kind of need to know the explanation.
Big bet. Like a big money bet on them.
Yeah, if that's a reason, I'd be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I guess you could root for them if you want to make money off of them.
You're like, hey, I want them to win so that next year when we beat them, it's just that much sweeter. Like, I just need some backstory. If you're just like, I kind of like these guys, I like the team.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, no, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Kyle and I had a bet going. We've been betting a lot lately, and my initial thought was like, I'm going to bet the Chiefs. And I texted it, and as soon as it came out of my text,
felt wrong.
I looked at it. I said, I'm going with the Niners, and I lost $50.
Yeah, $100. But yeah.
Well, Kevin would rather part with $50 than root for the Chiefs.
So Kevin had the winning bet, switched it, and then he also had the
and why don't they kick why don't they kick the extra point?
the line was 47.5 when we set our bet, and I picked the under, and the game finished at 47 points.
Yeah.
So I won it by half a point.
Total absolute bullshit. I'm usually on the winning side of that situation.
Doesn't feel good, huh?
Not this time.
Definitely not
this time.
It was go big or go home. So
we usually bet $5 on basketball games, and that was a 50 burger.
It's a 50 burger, and I came out real bad on that.
Sorry, dude.
A little overdone. Good
thing I whooped up on you months leading up to that, so now we're almost even.
But we're pretty much even now.
So, yeah, we need a good reason there, Kevin E. Fisk Jr., but thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Gavin Gibson, who asked the question.
I'm fed up with the halftime show singers dancing more than they sing. I understand putting on a show, but where's the singing? Who's been your favorite halftime performance? Bolt up, K. Love you, bye.
I don't know. I kind of dug the Usher energy.
I liked the dancing.
I liked the roller skates and the dancing.
Yeah.
No,
that was kind of cool.
It was cool.
And Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys came out there. It was so good. Like her singing.
The piano was wild.
The piano was sick. You see how they showed it looked like a red challenge flag?
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I didn't even put that together.
I don't know if that's what they were going for, but it did look like a challenge for
them. I can see the similarities. That's interesting. With
it. I like that.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
Roller skates were great.
Yeah.
That was sketchy, though.
Not even rollerblades. dude, easily that could have gone. Like, I love the difficulty of that because I played hockey and rollerbladed my whole life. To choreograph that shit, that's psycho. You are raising the level of difficulty so high. Somebody could have fallen and eaten shit so hard. And now
Usher could only have. Like, they put the main guy on skates.
Yeah. And he was wearing like a 12-pound jacket. You see that thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
No, I was. Yeah, I thought it was fun. Yeah. I mean, trying to think back of some of the old ones. I mean, Prince was awesome.
Prince was cool.
Yeah.
Wait, did you just say Prince?
I did.
We said at the same time?
We did.
Give me one of these. Give me one. Come on. Shoot it at me. Thank you.
Let's see. Yeah, Prince was awesome. Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty. I know a lot of people don't really like that show per se, but I think Tom Petty was an awesome one.
Michael Jackson, dude. Let's
Michael
go.
Michael Jackson, of course, one of the greats.
Well, I was going to say Usher's.
What about Janet Jackson and JT?
Booby Slip. That was pretty dope. Always will remember
classic.
That. Yep.
It's a classic.
I was a young man, and that opened my eyes.
I also like the Bruno Mars one. I thought Bruno Mars was really entertaining.
Bruno Mars is cool.
The Weeknd was confusing. When
that was one of the more confusing ones. That went the wrong way.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny when they showed the teams walking out. It looked like they just reused the same set piece from his performance, that like light room walking around. But
The Who was good. I remember The Who being good.
What was that? 1972?
It was recently. It was like last 10 years.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one. But I'll take your word for it, Kevin. So there you go. Gavin Gibson. A couple of favorites there. Let's move on now to Mr. Bolt, who asked the question.
Son of a bitch.
Under his breath.
Chargers make the Super Bowl. Who would you want to play the halftime show?
All right. Dealer's choice. Kevin, you want the Who?
I want you to.
Was it so good?
They've never done it before.
Not while I'm pouring. Come on.
It's not the night to pick on me. It's not the night. I'm in a bad mood. Not the night.
I'm coming.
Slipknot. Because I'm in an angry,
God. That would be such an intense.
That would be one of the most divisive halftime shows, and I am here for it. Yeah, I would love that.
Foo Fighters, honestly, my.
I was going to say, come on, Kevin. It would have to be Foo Fighters.
Well, I was saying, be like, oh, the Foo Fighters are a band. I don't know what you're going to pull out of your ass if I give you a genuine response. You say something stupid.
Could have done that. Could have gone there.
Kevin.
Get that out of my face. I don't want those. I don't want those. Take them back. Take them all back.
I gotta get the one closest
them up.
To you. Yeah.
Get them over.
I don't want them.
Get them.
I don't want them.
Get them. Get them. Take my love.
Didn't work.
I can't think of. All right, we're having way too much fun. trying to think of who else I would like to see. I can't think of any good, like, live performances. Oh, Gorillaz might be pretty awesome. That'd be sick. That'd be a good show.
That'd be like the show outside the stadium before it starts, like the warm-up band out there.
Is that what it would be?
I thought Kevin was going to say Nickelback, honestly.
Nickelback would be a dominant performance. Nickelback and Creed together, where they like
side to side.
Mashup, Creed and Nickelback.
Singing against each other.
I'm in.
Yes. Lip sync battle
back
at halftime.
Back. Hell yeah. I think Creed did have a halftime, or was it just like a Cowboys game? I can't remember. They did have a halftime show where the guys were flying around on.
I do remember that. Yes.
Oh gosh.
Yes.
Can you take me? Me? High? Are these like dudes flying around. It was too funny.
All right. Well, there you go, Mr. Bolt. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Bolt Gang member. Who asked the question? Keenan Allen has a problem. Disappearing for weeks at a time without scoring a TD. In 2023, on two separate occasions, Keenan went three straight weeks without scoring a TD. In 22, three-game streak, no TDs, and a four-game streak, no TDs. And in 21, two separate occasions, 3 weeks without scoring. But he gets receptions and first downs. Why can't Keenan get into the end zone for weeks at a time, multiple times a year? All right, so Keenan Allen not scoring enough for Bolt Gang members.
Liking.
Liking.
Yeah. I think there, you can look at a couple different things. I think the number one thing is he's the number one guy. Like when you have a target, if the defensive coordinator's good, he's going to take away that number one. With Mike Williams being out so much of the time and us never really having a true number three, I feel like when you have only one guy, it's okay, let's take out that one guy.
Right.
And that's what it's been for the last couple of years. So, yeah, I don't and like when you get down to the red zone, you think of big guy, like you think of size, right? Like
big targets.
That's what we always try to do. We try to get the ball to Parham. We try to get it to Mike Williams. Austin Eckler scored 20 touchdowns last year. So it's like we try to get the ball to the back. So I think it's a little bit of a victim of scheme. But also when you're the number one guy, when you get down into those clutch spots, they're going to take away what you do, what you want to go to.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And honestly, I think even some of the top wide receivers, they're not scoring every week. I think that's an unrealistic expectation. And for there to be weeks at a time that there's no touchdown, it's not an uncommon occurrence. I mean, I think I looked at like some of the top wide receiver like touchdowns, and like there's some outliers like Davante Adams getting like 18 touchdowns in a season, but like most of them are in like the tens to teens. And Keenan Allen's never broken double digits. I will say that he's had like eight, I think, has been his most in a season. But that's still. If you can score eight touchdowns and get the level of production that you get out of Keenan Allen and still go to the Pro Bowl, that's a solid dude. And, you know, that you can't take that away from him because that's just not his bread and butter. His bread and butter is getting receptions and first downs and getting the ball moving down the fields and setting them up for success to get those touchdowns. So he knows what he's good at.
Yeah. And he's coming back next year. Maybe he'll get 10.
Listen.
Be more efficient with his time.
Come on.
Get you in the end zone.
Please. So there you go. Bolt Gang member, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Anthony Tony Francis, who asked the question. OMG. As much as it pains me to say, watching Pat Mahomes last night was like watching a fine artist at work. If you take off your Chargers biased hat, what percentage chance do you give the Chargers to win the division next year and sweep the Chiefs in the regular season?
So we haven't done it since like 2009. Is that when it was last one?
To sweep the Chiefs?
No, the last time we won the AFC West.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It was 2009. Yeah. So like you couldn't, if you want to take off your unbiased hat, I would have say like last year, like 10% chance we could do it because we just haven't done it in forever. Mm-hmm. I legit say there's a 50-50 shot we can do it this year.
Yeah, with the hiring of Jim Harbaugh. Yeah,
absolutely there that we are. I think we're the most. We're their biggest challenge coming up this year. I think that's a fact. So I think there's a 50-50 chance, and I think that's highest than it's ever been, unbiased hat. Let me put this on.
Yeah.
We're definitely winning the AFC West. 100%.
I like I think that's fair. I think
I like that hat better. I didn't like the other one. Yeah. The hatless Kevin was not cool.
No, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
No. 50-50. With all of the guys, all of the people talking about how this team can make it happen in 1 year.
Yeah.
That includes winning the AFC West. That includes potentially sweeping the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So
how many wins do you think we need to win the AFC West? Like 12 wins?
12.
I think 12 is the number?
Yeah.
I don't see why that's not a realistic expectation.
Exactly. I mean, really, it's just a question now of what the roster ends up being, because now we see what our coaching staff is.
Yep.
So what is the roster going to look like? That would be a determination. But as long as Justin Herbert's slinging the rock?
Question. The way these coaches are coming in and everyone's like, I want to work with Harbaugh. What do you think that's going to mean for some of these free agents? Some of these running backs.
Yeah, exactly. Some of these guys that
are maybe can do what they've been doing for like the Patriots in past years, where they're like, take a team-friendly deal to get on there and go win a champ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think we're in that realm of maybe getting some free agents we wouldn't normally get for an amount that works for our cap because of the situation.
Yeah.
And go look at those running backs that are coming up available right now. Like, that could be impressive. That could be exciting.
Big time. Excellent point. So, there you go. There's our opinions, Mr. Anthony Tony Francis. Thank you for asking the question. There it is. We got him back. Let's move it on now to Andrew Ramsey, who asked the question.
Hello, Charger Chat neighbor. First of all, let me tell you, your new background and logo look as fresh as 16 meals from HelloFresh. Yeah. If I had more articles of clothing to remove post-gym boss hiring, I think that would have left me in the nude. Also, I've been naked for weeks. Neighbor! Two questions for you guys. Number one, if Felipe El Capitan Rio says we are finishing 10-7, then we are finishing 10-7. Do you agree, neighbor? Number two, why do I think Shane Day is a mistake? I want nothing to do with any staff associated with the meltdown at Jacksonville. What is Justin thinking if that was his call? You need a little pep in your step, not the darkest day of your career, Justin. Get your pep back into the chopper from NFL Network, and the both of you can advance your careers. He did work with Davis Mills after he left you. The both of you need each other like a good neighbor. K, love you. Bye.
Interesting take. Interesting take.
Did you guys hear Phil Rivers say we were finishing 10-7?
I don't know where that came from.
But if he did, then we are, I guess.
I didn't hear that.
I'm not going to challenge Philip Rivers.
I wouldn't challenge. I want to know why.
We need 12. We need 12 here, Phil.
Yeah.
Get you in. 10 and you're in.
10 and you're in, but we want to do better.
Yeah.
But the Shane Day being a mistake? I don't think so. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was the year that Justin Herbert had his most yardages with Shane Day.
And also the issue in Jacksonville was couldn't run the ball.
That wasn't on Shane Day. Yeah. So when did we have Shane Day? Was it 2021 or 2022?
21.
He's
been gone 2 years now.
He had 5,000 yards. It was his best statistical year in terms of passing. Mm-hmm. The most touchdowns.
I think, is that right?
Yeah, because we had Steichen in the first.
That was 20.
Or was he? No, he was the offensive coordinator. Excuse me. We had Pep Hamilton in the first. That was 20.
Yeah, that was 20.
And then we had Shane Day, 20, I think, for 21 for and years? 22. Yeah.
21 and 22.
Yeah. And then 23, we had Neusmeyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he did some of his best work under him. So, and I think what you're concerned about is a product of the whole team, not a product of a quarterback coach.
Right.
Like whatever makes Justin gets him prepared, if you feel like he gets the best preparation with him, that's what you want. That's what you need. So, you know, let's not argue with Justin. Even though
it's a little bit
kind of
familiar.
Assuming that's what he requested, but it's fair, I think.
I like having a little bit of familiarity for him in a very unknown coaching staff. Like he's got someone that going to bat for him and he can talk to and that can relay info and that kind of stuff is just, it's hard to do right away. I'm sure him and Jim Ball will do the whole shoulder pad slap and be buddies, but it's nice to have that guy that you know has your back. And in a quarterback room that who knows what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
You know, like Easton Stick probably is not back next year, so he doesn't have that guy in his quarterback room that's like his buddy, like he's had with Chase Daniel. And so to have
he's got a Duggan, though.
He does have a Duggan until we hear otherwise.
Reliable, friendliest of people you could probably meet.
It's true. I didn't think about that.
Give me that. So, yeah, I think it's going to be okay, Andrew. And I think, especially if it was Herbert's call to make. If it was his call, whatever Herbert wants, Herbert gets. Sure. But thank you, Andrew, for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Miguel J. Trujillo.
Trujillo?
Who asked the question? Can I join the podcast? Come on.
Oh, you want to be like right here in the mountains with us, in the mountaintops?
Yeah. Is that Miguel back just a here?
Little tiny Miguel just right there on the mountaintop.
We can toss you on here.
Yeah,
he's in like one of the windows of the buildings. Just
waving. We could have you on for a fan focus, my guy.
Absolutely, Miguel. Yeah, for a fan focus, just reach out to Kevin.
Yeah,
or on Twitter or something like that.
Would be kind of funny if one of us like had to go out for like a week. We just had some random person fill in. It could be entertaining. We'll put you on the list if
you're on the list of go tos.
Our emergency calls, yeah.
But yeah, we'd love to have you on Fan Focus for sure.
Yeah,
and we're always looking for people to have on there. Okay. So definitely, absolutely, for sure, Miguel. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Seth Holman.
Certified Fresh.
Who has the question? Why, Kevin? Why not me, huh? I know those other Ask Bolt fams are flashy and hot trotting in off the streets. The Theocadir rolls off your tongue and Big Red has Shakespeare. What do you want, Kevin? What do you want? Is it because I brought Dicker Long and Good to the table? Why am I not certified fresh?
Oh, no.
You told me to come back. And I did. Just for you. To forget me all over again.
Oh,
I'll tell you what.
He just did it again.
I am fresh. And certified. I'm joining Team Kyle, the Coach Doug in 2024. Thank you very much. So anyways, say in a gladiator arena, just kidding, can't love you bye, and I still love all you guys, just some good fun. Haha, thanks for making this offseason one of my favorites, guys.
I will say I read ahead and I thought it was fun.
Did it again.
I read ahead. It's the whole idea of that stupid ass thing started forever ago, and I'm always wrong.
That was your fault, dude.
It doesn't mean I don't love you any less.
It's a lose-lose, because the people that you call certified fresh don't know what that means, and the people that you accidentally call certified fresh, their feelings hurt. Stop doing it.
Okay. Is it done? Are we certified fresh now?
It's a lose-lose. We're certified done.
All right.
It's dealer's choice, buddy.
Certified done. Sorry, guys. Season 6, no certified freshes. I'm not hurting any more feelings. Season 6, we're moving on. We're turning a new leaf.
Yeah.
Do you want Kevin to keep saying certified fresh? Put it down in the comments. Let us know.
Not Seth. I don't want to hurt his feelings. I hurt his feelings again.
Just remember Seth, for God's sake. He's been on like 12 times. Seth.
One single tear. Drags a cigarette.
Hey, welcome to the team.
Yeah. Love you, Seth.
Love you, Seth. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Marco Dalio, who asked the question.
How do you guys feel about Austin Eckler potentially coming back? Do you feel he's the right guy for this regime?
He's not coming back. They're saying the things they got to say. It's kind.
Of course.
There's no way. Look at the Ravens. Look at Michigan. Do they have any Austin Eckler-esque backs? No.
Yeah.
We're running a completely different scheme, like I was saying. Like,
yeah.
And what he's going to want money-wise, it won't be worth.
Yeah.
What?
We don't have that.
Change of pace back stuff. Yeah.
And we saw, I don't know how hurt he was, but he just didn't look the same this year. Like the speed, the quickness, it just wasn't quite all there. And that's what happens. That's why these teams don't want to pay these guys, because it falls off pretty quick as a running back. Because you're touching the ball a lot, you're getting beat up a lot. It's not your normal position, you know? So I think you go for, if you're going to spend the money, go in a free agency, you can get another guy that fits the scheme better, and then draft, you know, one or two, you know, one in the draft, and then maybe a undrafted guy comes in and competes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be, if for some reason they did bring Austin Ekeler back, I would not be upset. I'd be like, great, love to have him.
Feels like a lot of money for a guy that I don't know if we need to go there with cap status as it is.
Yeah, the likelihood, no. Is he the right guy for the regime? Probably not. But if for some reason he did come back, love him. Yeah, love to have him back. But we'll see what happens there. Marco Dalio, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Zachary Shelton.
Hi, Zach.
Who asked the question. How much is the team going to invest in the secondary this offseason? I feel like only CBs were going to have that still under contract are Samuel and late-round picks. At safety, we have James and Gilman. Do you think they go after any free agents, draft both safety and CB?
Or perhaps maybe some free agents come after us?
I'm come Ron on. Burgundy.
Come they on. Want to come to us, and that's not the other way around.
It'll be interesting, to see what they end up doing with that. That's what's going to make this offseason so exciting. I mean, it's already exciting that we have Jim, and we've seen now the coaching hires, but now the excitement is, what is this team?
Isn't Alohi a free agent?
Alohi is a free agent,
So
there's no guarantee. Could potentially come back. Yeah, but it's not a guarantee that we get Alohi back.
Yeah, I mean, you do have the young guys that I thought played pretty well with Dean, Deanne, whatever we called him, Mr. Leonard.
Mr. Leonard.
And Jasir Taylor played well too. Like, those guys are developing under what we don't know what the coaching staff really was. So, I think there's going to be an overhaul. It sounds like there's changes coming. You have to clear cap space. There's a lot of changes that are going to happen. So, cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers, D linemen, it's coming for everybody.
Right. Totally. It'll be interesting to see there, Zachary. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to the K-Man, who asked the question. After listening to the Joe Ortiz presser, do you feel the Chargers are going to clean house or get a hold of the salary cap issue and get a more energetic and younger team assembled for the upcoming season? Thanks for answering my question. I love y'all. Bye.
I think it was interesting because Joe Ortiz was interviewed by Matt Money on the other podcast with Chris Harry. Mm-hmm. And basically he's talking about this situation never really comes up for GMs. You're usually stepping in to fix problems. He's like, I'm stepping in here. We have what we need. It's basically what he said. He's just going to make some subtle tweaks, make a few changes. And we'll be off and running. So I don't think it's going to be a huge thing. I think players that aren't under contract this year, I'd say 90% of them probably won't get re-upped. And then they'll bring in fresh faces. Mm-hmm. And then maybe a trade. I think we'll have one blockbuster trade that's like, oh, shit, there goes Joey, or there goes one of the guys is going to get traded, is my guess.
Yeah, I mean, just with the salary cap, it'll be interesting to see, because right now it feels like it's all about trying to get as much draft capital as you can. Mm-hmm. And whether that comes from trade, whether that comes from going back in the draft or something like that, I feel like it is definitely going to be a younger team that we end up seeing, you know, whether that's from free agency, getting some young guys that didn't quite make their deal, or I don't know. It'll be fun regardless.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way you don't attack the draft.
Yeah.
If you can move money, like if we can move one of those big contracts and get picks for it, and you can move back from five, which we don't need the fifth pick. Even if you want Brock Bowers, every draft that I see, like mock, he's down there at past 10. So it's like there's no need. Now, I do think that it's interesting how the mock draft has significantly changed after the Joe Ortiz hire actually went into effect. I think what a lot of people have picked on is Joe Ortiz's constant mention of compensatory picks. Like he seems to be obsessed with compensatory picks, like getting extra picks any way that he can. So yeah, I think you're gonna finally see movement in the draft of us trying to accumulate more in that second, third, fourth round kind of zone.
It's the most efficient way to bring in the guys that fit the system you want. You know, you can free agent your way as much as you can, but they're gonna be expensive. Right. And granted, if you're doing a lot of that moving, you're going to have a couple first round contracts to pay. So those aren't going to be cheap either. Right. So I'm going to be interested to see what they do in like the second through fourth round when the price tag is a little cheaper, but they can get a whole bunch of them. And those are guys that's exactly what the Ravens have done forever, has been really good with that mid range of the draft and get guys that outperform where they were drafted. And that's exactly what we need this year.
Perfect. There you go. K-Man, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Chance.
Chance.
Who asked the question?
What is each of your guys' best case scenario for the 5th overall pick? For me, I'd like to see us trade back somehow and pick Brock Bowers. What you guys think?
Kind of just answered the last question. Seeing those mock drafts where Brock Bowers isn't going until way late.
Yeah,
11. And we all want him. And there's even been talk about, like, that's the guy that Harbaugh's looking at right now, is getting a guy like Bowers, or just getting Bowers, period. That's the best case scenario, because you get more picks, you still get the guy you want. What else could you ask for? Sign him up. So, yeah, there's no argument there. And even if it's not Bowers, if you trade back and you're getting, like, a top lineman or something like that, like, whatever the scheme or the plan is, that's the best case scenario, is trading back, getting as many picks as you possibly can.
Well, I don't want to go back too far. I think you look at the so basically
whoa.
Like I don't know all about that, but I think
let's not go crazy.
It's like it's psycho.
But the farther you go back, the more you're getting in competition.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, but yeah, it's still. You don't want to blow a premium pick when you plan to never really be up there again.
Yeah, but you go back. You have your franchise left tackle and your quarterback. Those are what you drafted there.
Can I get a franchise right tackle and a franchise center?
At about 5
franchise.
You don't need. You can get the best center in the draft at 32.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Okay.
Just pick up what I'm laying down.
Keep going. I know it's hard. Just hang on. I know.
Keep going. It's just not making sense yet.
So just look at the teams that need a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I think the one that makes the most sense, and 5 is a great spot because you're going to get a top 3 quarterback there. You're going to get the third quarterback off the board at 5. I think the Vikings make the most sense at 11 to trade up with us. And 11's good for me, because I think that's where we can still land Brock Bowers. You could probably still get a right tackle if that's where you want to go. And then you get the ability to stack up the second and third round, which is where you can address whatever you need, cornerback, center. You can address all the improvements. And I think you have to look at it in terms of, like, who's under contract right now versus who's – there's a hole. Like, right now there's a hole at center. Will Clapp is not the answer at center. We do – as much as I don't want to say it, we have a right tackle under contract right now. So, like, who do we really need to look at is the positions that we don't. And they're bringing in all these coaches that are apparently the best coaches in the country. So maybe they can make the guys we have on contracts better. But you need to fill the holes. You need to fill the center hole. You need to fill, you know, cornerback. Like, those are – and tight end. Like, those are the ones you need to look at first, in my opinion.
Well, there's a lot of best case scenarios there for you, Chance. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Austin, who asked the question.
Who is a major target that's not a first rounder? And would you be interested in trading Mac if it gives us a first round pick?
All right. So it's a two-parter. A major target that is not a first rounder. And trading Mac if it gives us a first round pick. Let's start with the easy one. Trading Mac if it gets you a first round pick, 100%.
You're not getting a first round pick from him, though. There's
but
no
if you
but
do,
if it did,
yeah,
if it
course, did, question.
Of course.
Yes. Because yes. That's like, we just like flipped a house there. We traded him for a third round pick, and then we get it for a first round pick.
Yeah, and we got to watch him for a couple of years, too.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's an easy answer.
Okay, let's keep working down the ladder. If it's a second round pick.
Mm.
probably, say yeah. Yes. I'd say yeah, I'd say probably.
Yes. Yeah.
You still get that giant contract off the books and you right. get.
But so then let me
still starter.
Beg this question.
Yeah.
Joey round. Bosa, who do you feel more comfortable not having on the team right now? Joey Bosa or Khalil Mack?
They're kind of even.
They're even for you?
Yeah.
Even though Khalil played both the have whole their freaking season.
Pros and cons. Yeah.
Like I don't see that many cons from Khalil Mack. I see a few cons with Joey Bosa. Yeah. Like what are Mack's
no,
cons?
No, no, no. I'm not saying that I guess yeah, I would rather have Khalil Mack. I just think that I don't know, Khalil's just in my head, it's like an easy, like, yeah, he's getting old. Mm-hmm. Like he's an older guy.
Right.
So it feels like you're gonna start to deteriorate here.
Got it.
Right.
But either one, I think that Joey is an incredible football player.
Sure.
Who's to say next year he's not healthy the whole season? We don't like, yeah, I know it sucks that he's been hurt a lot, but if he could have a whole season healthy, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. But has he ever done that?
Yeah, not a lot, but he's done it.
I don't know if he's had a season where he's played every game.
All right.
Khalil Mack played every game this year.
I think it was when The Who played back in 2010.
We already figured that out, yeah.
2010, that was it.
No, remember that. Joey no, but I'm open to trades.
Thomas Aquinas, all games.
I think the only one that I would say not to touch is Keenan Allen. Everybody else, make me an offer, and I would consider it kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would be my place.
Well, and it's easy this year because we're like, we have so much newness. Like, go ahead. Whatever you want to do, if you can get a stud, you know, edge rusher in the first two rounds that you think will be great for us, go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Sure. So, joke's on you. He did play 16 games in 3 seasons.
Which seasons?
2017, 2019, 2021. In which he had 10.5 sacks, 12.5 sacks, and 10.5 sacks.
How many sacks did Khalil Mack have this year?
We had 6 in one game against the shithole
Sounds
Raiders.
Like a good player to me.
Oh my
god,
he's so annoying. When did I say that he's not a good player?
I know, I'm kidding.
You're
I'm
so annoying.
Just giving you a hard time.
You're wrong. Down. Say I was wrong. Say I was wrong.
No, I'm just.
Say I. No, no. Say I was wrong.
I was wrong about that.
Say, thank you.
It wasn't genuine.
I know it wasn't, but you still said it. We're going to clip it.
It feels like he hasn't played a full season.
I'm adding it to the soundboard.
Kevin admitted you're wrong.
Yeah. But as far as a major target that's not a first rounder, I feel like that hole that you mentioned, Kevin, center.
Center, yeah.
Looking at somebody like Zach Frazier or Cedric Van Pran.
Those I want two Jackson guys. Powers Johnson from Oregon. I think sure. That's my target. Like,
I think any of those.
Where is
guys,
he mocked to go? Is he a second rounder?
Second, third round. I've
seen. But he's a number one center off the board. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the beginning of the second round, that would be ours. So
oh, yeah,
would,
we have the 5th pick there.
Yeah.
So that would be that would be a huge target. I would think is just filling that position, regardless of who the player is. Any of those guys. I mean, those are all guys that I've seen, and I've been like, yeah, give me that. I'll take that all day.
Sure. Yeah. Give me that guy.
Give me a side of that. So there you go. Austin, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Daryl21, who asked the question.
Guys, oh, major thank you to my peeps over there. Oh, for the well wishes on the loss of my buddy. And major props to the new intro and digs. Flippin' love it. Hoo-ha. Oh, now, this week isn't so much a question as just an observation. Being Super Bowl Sunday and hoping my kick-ass sizzless lunch stays down during the game, having to watch the Queefs play again. Oh, I had a thought. With all the moves Harbaugh is making, it feels a little like coaching is loading up his guns a la Clint f***ing Eastwood. Oh, walking into the AFC West, ready for a showdown. And Reed, Peyton, and Pierce are just standing there like, ah, shit! Hoo-ha! The amount of moves we're making are unreal and so dang exciting. We get Shane Day back and pick up Navarro Bowman. Damn! On last week's question, I forgot the term identity. Thanks to Kyle DeCoach for the save. I have a feeling that every division game coming up, Eastwood's whistling theme will start running through my head. See you Tuesday, guys. Okay, love you, bye.
Wah, wah, wah. Love it. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's after seeing all of these coaching hires, he's stacking the deck.
Yeah.
He's getting the best of the best. He knows what the success looks like. He's tasted that victory and he knows how to get back.
Speaking of tasting, Sizzler. When was the last time you ate at the Sizzler?
In a while.
2010.
I
was watching the halftime show. Yeah, it was a great meal.
Woo. Yeah, I've only been there, I think, a handful of times, and it's been fine.
Yeah,
Daryl, if that's your restaurant of choice, I'm not knocking it. It's just, yeah, it's been a while.
Sizzler, it's a great name.
Great name. It is. Honestly, it is. It's very it's a great name. It should be better than it is, I think, with such a good name.
Yeah. So awesome. Thank you, Daryl, for reminding us about the Clint Eastwood, the whistling tune. It's going to happen. And we go out of Ask Bolt Fam with Athayr Kadir.
Athayr
Kadir.
Oh, you're back.
He's nice to me now.
Judge it, Chet, my boys. I love you with my heart. Time for the first Best Judge It podcast with Locked On Chargers, baby. Wolduck, my baby, I love you. Kevin, my best friend, baby. Kyle, the coach, I still love you, my baby. Can't wait to see you butt in the home opener. I have a surprise for you, LOL.
Oh, shit. Oh no. I'm not going.
First, the Antonio Gates was bullshit robbery. I swear, pathetic. I'm sad. But he will be in next year for sure. Now to my question, my boys, baby. Which is better story to write? Coach Harbaugh going back to the place where he lost the Super Bowl, New Orleans, and redemption, or Herbie playing in his first Super Bowl? Make your pick, please, baby. I'm taking the coach. Oh, I'm talking to coach. Excuse me. Let's go. I love you. F*** the AFC. Chargers on the ass in 2024. Bolt the f*** up, baby.
He's got something for you at Thunder Alley, dude.
I can't wait.
I'm going to have my head on a swivel.
Just bring one of your kids, put them on your shoulder. You'll be fine. Seems reasonable.
Operation Human Shield.
Yes, send the kids.
I'm just going to walk. I need to get three or four guys around me. I'm going to walk in the middle, eyes peeled for Athayr.
And then we'll just.
We all got fingers on our ears looking around.
We'll just keep track of where we are in the space. Like, Athayr! Athayr! We'll just always know where each other are for safety.
Yeah.
All right. So the question, what is the better story?
It's got to be Harbaugh. Harbaugh going. I didn't even realize that the Super Bowl. Because that was when the lights went out in the machine. Yeah. That was before. Wait, what was the stadium? Is that still the same one?
Yeah, same stadium.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that was when the lights went out, and I do remember that was in New Orleans. Yeah, that's a good storyline. I like that.
Yeah, dude,
taking us to the Super Bowl in, you know,
first season,
30 years later.
Yeah,
like that's insane.
With your old team at the old place.
Yeah, like Justin's first playoff win would be great. Yeah. I'll take that.
That itself would be a great story. That'd be
freaking awesome.
That's a good story, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that he could come here and do it in the first season would be so insanely epic.
Yeah. There's a lot more history with Harbaugh than there is with Herbert, and we love Herbert. Don't get that twisted, but for that kind of a story to come from Coach Harbaugh, that's beautiful. That's a movie waiting to happen, basically. So, there you go. Athayr, thank you, buddy. For asking the
Athayr,
question.
Tied with Locked On. What is this shit, Athayr? Come on now, baby.
That's good company to be in.
Oh, no, it's great company. I love those guys, but
he just doesn't like guys.
What do we say? What do we do to deserve this disrespect?
Whoa. We're in Athayr's Hall of Fame, baby.
Yeah, tied. I don't like ties. They're like kissing your sister.
Dude, you don't want to be on Athayr's bad side. Stop. Believe me, you don't want to.
He's been there.
Yeah. Coach, do you love the Locked On guys?
Question for Kev next week, Athayr. Come at him.
Guns blazing.
No, don't let Kyle off the hook.
Wah, wah, wah. All right, Athayr, thank you for asking the question, and thank you everybody for asking questions in this Ask Bolt Fam. This has been a fun episode. We've had our new background, our new graphics and everything. And it's a new season, season six for the Charger Chat.
Dude, did you guys think we would do a season six?
No.
No, not at all.
I don't know if I would have signed up. No, there was a season six.
If I'd have known this from the beginning, I'd have.
If I'd have known how much time this would have taken from my life. I'm kidding. No, then I wouldn't have had this awesome Rivers Lake Yacht Club.
And all the
That's what 6 years gets you, kids. Shirt in a glass.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Any final thoughts there, gentlemen?
I'm glad
the Super Bowl's over.
Yeah, glad it's over. Glad it's done. Yeah.
So we'll know stuff in the next month, what's going on, right?
I think March.
All this shit's going to get going.
March is when the trade starts happening.
God, it's going
to Remember, we were in Vegas when we got Cleo.
Right.
Yeah. We'll be there again. Hopefully that'll happen then. We'll see what happens.
But that's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat, folks. Don't forget to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Mine doesn't work.
My heart's broken.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Johnny boy, why the long face? Did you break your plates again? Sounds like you need to take a trip to Antonio Gates' first-rate plate estate for all your plating needs. There's no debate these great plates are perfect for blind dates with inmates, even for cut-rate cheapskates. We don't exaggerate or underestimate when we estimate you to appreciate and infatuate with these plates. We've got dinner plates, hot plates, steel plates, tin plates, silver plates, gold plates, armor plates, breast plates, home plates, name plates, collection plates, license plates, and more. Celebrate with your primate roommate while you acclimate and celebrate with Antonio Gates' first-rate plates. Gyrate your way straight upstate and anticipate no wait, and we mitigate the tax rate with a cut-rate rebate. Open late for the due date with your teammate at the tailgate. We operate off Interstate 8, where we await to congregate with you. Antonio Gates' first-rate plate estate. Visit us straight away.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.